Appreciate an interest in your prayers as we look into the Word of God this morning. I did not put a question mark on that because it can be asked as a question or it can be made as a statement. What manner of spirit? I'd like to begin over in the book of Luke in the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9, begin reading with verse 51. It said, "It came to pass when the time was come that he," speaking about Jesus, "should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered in to a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And he went to another village." There are a lot of truths encapsulated in this little passage this morning. Of note, you notice it said that as Jesus was ready to go, it said he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And this is important to understand the context today. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. That's where his destination was. But as he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to make a stop at a village of the Samaritans. But that was not his final destination. He was going to Jerusalem. And then he was like, well, we're headed to, well, this is our destination, but since we're going to be going by this way, we're going to stop and see someone. Do you know when someone makes a long journey and they stop to see you, that might be special, but you might not be the final destination. But that's a little bit different if someone says, I want to see you so badly, I'm going to travel across the country and I'm going to come to your house. You are my destination. You are the purpose of my trip. You see how that elevates the purpose? And this is important in understanding what took place here. So Jesus then what set his face, it repeats it twice. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers before his face. And most likely it was James and John, it's likely, because they were the ones that were wanting to deal with the situation. So it's a good probability that James and John were the messengers that Jesus sent. Go tell these villagers that I'm going to come by their way. And here James and John, can you just imagine James and John walking into the village, say, hey, Jesus is going to come see you. And they kind of looked at him. And he's on his way to Jerusalem, but he's going to come by and pay you a visit. And they were not interested. They weren't interested. They didn't want him to come. And so it said that he sent messengers. And this is just not to go down too far rabbit trail, but there's some theological, doctrinal truth that I want to bring out right here. That word messenger in the Greek is the same word that is translated in other passages as angels. He sent angels before him to prepare for his coming. The reason I bring that out is because there is a lot of false doctrine and false teaching by people about angels. Every time the word angel is used does not mean it is speaking about a celestial divine being from heaven. The word angel means messenger. So sometimes in the scripture, sometimes in the book of Revelation, sometimes where those angels that fell and lost their first estate, Now we're getting into the, now we're going to get into the weeds doctrinally, and I don't have time to get all into it this morning. But they fell from their first estate. He was speaking about there in Jude, about the pattern of God's judgment, and it didn't even mention Adam and Eve by name, and then it goes on to talk about those in Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. Those messengers that lost their first estate, those patriarchs of old that started with Adam and Eve, that fell away and disobeyed God and were cast out of the garden. So the point being here, I want us just to get a little bit and file it away for another Bible study, is that when he sent messengers before his face, the word there is angels. He sent James and John, or whoever it was he sent. But they were people, they were humans that he sent to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ to the village of the Samaritans. And so when he came to the village, they did not receive him. They did not accept him. They didn't give him opportunity to minister. Who wouldn't want Jesus to come? This is the one that says he's the Son of God, that has raised the dead and cause the lame to walk, the one that caused blinded eyes to see, the one that cast out devils, and you don't want him to come? Why didn't they want Jesus to come? They were Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans were in essence enemies, although they also were very almost like first cousins. You know, they came from some of the same stock, but they had intermingled their teaching of the God of Abraham with the gods of other nations. The Samaritans believed, and this comes back to John 4, when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well. And he said, "You say we worship God in this mountain, and they say in that mountain, but the time is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." He was talking to a Samaritan woman. Some people say the Jews say that you worship God in Jerusalem, where the temple was. But the Samaritans had built their own temple to worship God, and they believed that's where they were supposed to worship. So now, how does that look when Jesus is coming not to worship in their temple? You're not coming to worship in our temple. You're headed to the temple in Jerusalem. You're headed to where the Jews worship. We're not interested, because you're not preaching our brand of truth. What brand of truth do you want this morning? Do you realize that people have their paradigms this morning? What brand do you want if it's from the Word of God and it's the message? But see, the Samaritans did not want Jesus to come because he was on his way to Jerusalem. It says it. It spells it out. See, it said in verse 53, they did not receive him because, it told us the reason. They didn't receive him because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. You worship in this mountain or on this mountain? Which mountain? So if you're on your way over there, we're not even interested in you coming by our way. What would you feel like if you were that messenger? You had seen the power of God. You had seen the miracles of Jesus. And you go, what about these congregations? It could start here. We could just move on down all the chapels down this road, all the way through Republic. In every one, we say, Jesus is coming. Jesus isn't coming your way. And it's like, did he stop at the Baptist church? I'm not interested in coming here if he stopped by the Baptist church. Did he stop by the Pentecostal church? Did he stop by the Methodist church? And then those people would say, did he stop by that Church of God chapel? You see what I'm saying? We could just move on. Where is he going and what is he doing? Folks, we need to have a heart open to truth this morning. If Jesus Christ has taught us something, I want to receive what he has for me. I want to receive the truth from the Lord Jesus. And this is the reason, though, they didn't want him to come their way. Understand? Because of where he was headed. And so then the messengers that God had sent, possibly James and John again, they were indignant. You don't want Jesus to come? You don't, would that not cause you to feel some, let's spiritualize it. We call it not upset or angry. We would say, I'm righteously indignant. Have y'all ever spiritualized carnality? Come on now. Spiritualize it. We say, well, you know, as children of God, we shouldn't act this way and that way. So we'll put our little spiritual terms to justify carnal behavior. There's not one amen, but I hope you're saying it inside. You understand, though. So they came then, and they were indignant. And I think we probably would have been, too. It's like, Lord, we went and told them you were going to come, and they said, we're not interested. Don't come by our way, because you're headed to Jerusalem. We're not interested in you coming. And so then they ask a question here. It said when James, he saw, well, we're talking about James and John now. And it's interesting that Jesus surnamed them. And you'll find this in book Mark, in Mark 3, 17. Jesus had surnamed them Boanerges. And that means sons of thunder. Jesus called them the sons of thunder. It's like, where'd that come from? No one really knows. It might have been Jesus called them that because of their because of their power in preaching and in teaching and maybe their fervency. He said, sons of thunder. There are some that think it came from this instance. I think that is a stretch personally. I think it was more from their devotion and their power with God that he called them the sons of thunder. Some would say it was because of this, but it was these two brothers that said, Lord, they did not receive you. Would you like us to call down fire from heaven? Would you like us to call down judgment upon them? I'll say those were men of faith because they were actually believed that there was a power for fire to fall down from heaven and consume these Samaritans that would not accept Christ. Lord, they're not receiving you. How are we going to respond in our world today for people that don't receive truth? Lord, would you have us to call down fire from heaven? Because we're right. We're accepting of the Lord and they're not. So maybe, Lord, let's just have some judgment. We are in the truth. We are in the truth. Let's call down fire from heaven. But you realize that wasn't the extent of their question. They did something else here. You notice what they did? Would you like us to call down fire from heaven like Elias, like Elijah did? They were name dropping. We're upset and we're frustrated and we're wondering, Lord, would you want us to call down fire from heaven because Elijah did it? Have you ever name dropped to justify your behavior? Lord, I'm doing this, but I know brother so-and-so acted this way too, so it's all right. I want everybody to know that brother so-and-so acted this way, and this person said this. I knew him, and he was a real man of God, and he said that, so I can say it too. And we just want everybody to know that I am justified in what I'm doing because Elijah did it. I want us to know something this morning. We are not justified in everything we do because someone that we knew did that. Elijah did it because it was God's will and it was motivated by something different. But here, when James and John said, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven, how many people are doing that today? Lord, let's call down judgment. Let's call down fire from heaven on him because brother so-and-so did it and he preached it strong and he preached it true and he preached it hard. But folks, preach the word of God, but preach it in love. If it is motivated from a carnal attitude, it's wrong. And I can say, but brother so-and-so used to preach that way. I can't speak for his spirit. But the Lord is interested in what's motivating us this morning. And we can spiritualize our motivations. We can doctor it up. We can cover it up. We can try to sanctify it. And it's still carnality if it's not being moved by the Holy Spirit. But Lord Elijah did it. Name dropping. Lord, help us this morning. And so Jesus then, he looked at the sons of thunder. And it was wrong what was happening. He agreed. They should have accepted him. And yet, he looked at them with their name dropping. And he said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. Do you know what it means when we don't know what manner of spirit we're of? It means we're blinded. It means we don't see. Would it be all right to ask us a very personal question? And remember this, okay? All I can do is examine my life. What manner of spirit am I of? What is prompting the decisions that I make in life? What is prompting my attitudes? What is the spirit behind the words that I speak? You see, I imagine most of us, I know I have, probably all of us, have been accused of something before. And they said, but you said such and such. And it's like, yes, I said that, but my spirit wasn't like your spirit isn't quoting me. You know what I'm saying? You can say the same. That's the danger of text as well, I'll tell you. You know, you can take a text and you can read it totally different ways. You can read it softly with love and compassion, or you can read it hard and judgmental, and the words are the same. So that's just a little side note. Be careful. And so that's the reason, though, that all of us can maybe have been misjudged before because we said something and someone took our word and said, but you said this. But it's like, yeah, but the spirit behind it was different. What spirit do we have this morning? What is motivating us? What is the spirit behind it? Without name dropping, without justifying, without what is moving us to do what we do this morning? Lord, open our eyes, because you see, they were acting as if they were following the pattern of the prophets. And yet Jesus said, you really don't know what manner of spirit you're of. You really don't see what's prompting you. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes this morning. Help us to see. Help us to understand this morning our spirit. You see, it's easy for us to judge one another, is it not? And if we're not careful, we'll end up like the man that was trying to get the mote out of his brother's eye, and he had a beam in his. We have to start in saying, Lord, would you try my spirit? Would you help me to examine what is really motivating? I can justify it. I can spiritualize it. I can give examples of the Elijahs that I've known in my life. But Lord, in the quiet of the night, when I open up my heart before you, what is motivating me to do what I do and talk like I talk and live like I live and do what I do? Lord, what is the spirit? Because Jesus told them, you don't know what manner of spirit, which meant there was a blindness, which meant there were some things they didn't see. And the Lord was trying to open up their eyes to let them see what was really behind. You see, it was indignation. It was carnality, but see, it was a zeal. There was a zeal there, and isn't it right to be zealous? But their zeal was not being motivated from a foundation or a spirit of love and forgiveness. And so many would respond today and say, is there not a cause? Have you ever seen people get carnal about a cause? Do you not believe in the cause? There are things in society there are causes in society that I believe there is a cause. But I do not believe in burning down buildings to support my cause. I do not believe in carnality. I do not believe in undermining. I do not believe in all of the things. And people say, but don't you need to get behind the cause? I mean, you say you're a Christian and there's an injustice. Come out and protest with us on the street. What manner of spirit's prompting that protest? What's behind that? Is there a cause? Yes, there's a cause. Does that mean we can never say anything about it? Yes, there's a place and a time to say things. But I can't get behind someone that is being motivated with a spirit that is unlike Christ. And so people excuse carnality, justifying it because of a cause. Is there not a cause? Okay, so what about, where does that start? See, this is practical. Now we're going to come down to something very practical. Where this starts is in our personal relationships at home. What manner of spirit are you of? Well, what I said, it was true. It was right. What I said was true. Have you ever heard that or said that? But it's true what I'm saying. It might be true, but what is the spirit behind it? Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see. You see, there's injustice in the home. There's an injustice in the church. There's an injustice in society. And so there are people, it's almost like a call to arms while waving the bloodstained banner. And yet I find the scripture says that we put up our swords. And we beat our swords into plowshares or pruning hooks. And we don't learn war anymore. The weapons of our warfare, saints, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do I know the difference? Because what manner of spirit? If we are not careful, we will fight carnally for just causes. That's not the answer this morning. What manner of spirit? In the home, in the church, and in society. Lord, do you want us to call down judgment? Because I'm in the right. I was a messenger. I took the truth, and they are wrong. Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah? And he said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. And he went on to say this, for the Son of Man is not come to what? To destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's why Jesus came. You see, this is his dispensation of grace this morning. Oh, Lord, help that to start in our homes. But we need some judgment. This is a dispensation of grace. This is a dispensation of forgiveness. This is a dispensation of mercy. Does that mean that there is no judgment at all? No, that's not what that means. But it means if there is judgment, it is founded from the Spirit of Christ, whose purpose was not to cut off, but to restore. It was not to cast down, but it was to lift up. Jesus came to save people's lives, which means in all of our interactions with people in the home, in the congregation that you work with, and in society, that should be our spirit. I want to see them brought to Christ. I want to see them be saved. And you say, but Lord, I look at the wickedness around us. Lord, it's about time to call down fire from heaven on them. The Lord will send fire when it's the right time. But our job, see, the scripture says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Our job is not to call down fire. Our job is to extend the love and the mercy that people would be drawn to Jesus Christ. Now, please do not misunderstand, because I can get up next Sunday and preach about the importance of judgment. That would not be contradicting what I'm preaching this morning. But the judgment of the truth is what brings judgment. So if we say the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, that is a statement of judgment. That is truth. But I want all of the unrighteous to be saved. I want them to come to Christ. I want them to have opportunity. So then, as messengers of the Lord this morning, as angels, you're an angel this morning. Lord has a message for you. I want to take the message of Christ that says, I came not to destroy, but I came to save. And I came to restore. So the response then that they gave was wrong. Yes, it was. But see, there's an important point here that as what manner of spirit we're of, it's like a father and his son went and stood at a ice cream truck. And they were in line there, and a man came rushing up and pushed him aside and cut in front of him. And the son was very indignant. How many of you all would feel a little indignation? Okay, maybe a couple of you, a few of you. Feel some indignation. That's not right. That's not fair. Life is not fair. And the little boy was upset. It's like, Dad, that's not right. This man, and he was getting angry. And the father just pulled him aside and said, Son, he said, you're right. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right what the man did. But if we respond in anger, if we respond in carnality, we are giving that man power over us. We're giving him power over us. Do you see how much better it would be just to, well, yeah, that's not right. And then to calmly, with love and forgiveness, wait until you got up to the front. You see, this is the spirit that Christ came to teach us. He came to teach us to have a spirit of compassion, a spirit of love, a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of reconciliation. Because Jesus did not come to destroy, but he came to save. Think about the difference when we consider the spirit. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery? I love that story. The woman that was caught in adultery and the Pharisees brought her to Jesus is like, Lord, what do you say needs to be done to her? Because the law of Moses says she should be stoned. And at the end of the story, as Jesus stooped and wrote, most likely he was writing their transgressions of those that were, because he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And one by one they walked out. You can start walking out when your name gets written in the sand and the commandment you broke. It's like, I'm out of here. And when Jesus got to them, they were all gone. And he said, woman, he said, where are thine accusers? And he looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn thee. This was a woman that was caught in the act of sin. Jesus was not excusing the sin. You say, well, Jesus was a compromiser. No, he wasn't. When he said, I don't condemn you, I don't condemn you to death. Yes, what you did is wrong. And that's why he said, neither do I condemn thee, but go and what? Go and sin no more. Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? James and John, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. I came to bring a message of deliverance that I don't condemn you, but go and don't do it again anymore. That was the spirit that Jesus taught us. Oh, I would so much rather meet Jesus in my sin than James and John at that moment. At that moment. Because if it were not for the compassion and love of Jesus, I would not be here this morning. Would any of you all be here? He's forgiven us of so much. How can we do less this morning? How can I not? I said, well, they should know better. Yeah, what about you? Should have you known better? And yet, Jesus loved us. And he forgave us. And he said, go and sin no more. How can I then, in my relationship with my wife and my brother and my sister and in the congregation and the people that I meet, someone I was doing business with yesterday that was a homosexual, how can I this morning, how can I face them with anything less than the spirit that Jesus had on me when he taught us to love and to forgive, that there is a way back of restoration into the fold of the Lord? What manner of spirit? So see, speaking the truth, speak it, but speaking the truth in what, does the scripture say? Speaking the truth in love. Not motivated by a contentious spirit. You know, some people are right what they say, but they're wrong in why they say it. There are some people, they're just contentious. It's almost like they thrive with controversy. They thrive in problems. In some of what they say, I agree with. But how can I get on someone's bandwagon when their spirit's wrong, even if I agree with what they say? Well, what do you think about what so-and-so said? I'm not going there because I don't like their spirit. What manner of spirit are we of this morning? Theologically, doctrinally, in the church, I can contend for things that are in the scripture. But if I contend carnally, I have lost my point. I've lost it because my spirit's not reflective of that of Christ. And yes, Christ spoke some very direct words to people. People say, they'll name drop Jesus. Well, Jesus talked that way. Yeah, but what is your spirit? What is our spirit? But I'm right. I'm right. Does being right give us the cause or justification to act carnally? What about in our homes? Husbands, wives, parents, children. When no one's around, if you think you are in the right and there is a disagreement, are we justified in responding impatiently, responding without forgiveness, responding carnally? Are we justified in that? You see, it really doesn't matter how my wife treats me. Or maybe I should turn this around because it doesn't really matter how, I'm not trying to put her in a bad light. It doesn't matter how I treat her. And you know, she still has a responsibility before God to respond with the Spirit of Christ and forgive because the Lord did that for her and He did it for me. This is where it starts, saints. We talk about wanting to serve God, and we could talk about a lot of theology this morning, talk about a lot of doctrines that are important, but this is where the rubber meets the road. It's in how we relate and conduct ourselves with each other and with society. What manner of spirit are ye of? So as we close this morning, I'd like to just briefly reference a few verses. 1 Peter 3, 8-9, finally be ye all of one mind. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. But I'm right and they're wrong. Scripture says be courteous. Be kind. Well, they don't deserve it. That's not the point. I didn't either. And yet the Lord reached out with a spirit of forgiveness for me. He said not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Let me ask a question, and you don't have to nod your head on this one, okay? I'm not going to take a survey and see who's nodding their head. Have you ever been in a disagreement with someone and you know that you probably didn't quite have the Spirit of Christ in how you responded? Okay, I will just tell you, I have before. I was right on the issue, but I wasn't right in how I responded. Okay? You know, I had to do business with God about that. It wasn't the point then. It wasn't the issue then. It was about my heart. So this starts then in the home. All right, so my wife and I say we have a disagreement. And of course, I'm right. You get the point. I think you get it. Do I need to explain? This is where I have to watch my spirit. Because she's just not getting it. I mean, I don't know what planet, what planet she come from. You understand they're thinking different, brethren. Your wife doesn't think like you. Love her anyway. Be kind to her. Courteous, compassionate, loving. And do you realize that that will do more for relationship than me getting my point that she got the point and now she knows the truth? Oh, yeah, she might know the truth that I've lost my relationship. You know, it's a cold day and a cold night. But she got the truth because I let her know what it was. Why are we chuckling? Why are we laughing? Some of you may not be laughing now. Well, why is that funny? Is anybody brave enough to answer me? Because it's true. And this happens in homes, it happens in congregations, it happens with people we work with, it happens in people we do business with. And the Lord's wanting us to say, Lord, help me that I would have the spirit that you want me to have. even when there are times that there's a place to stand up for truth. I'm not talking about just giving in to what's wrong and all that. That's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about my spirit this morning. And so, not railing for railing. She said this and all. Have a comeback. Well, but blah, blah, blah. Well, this and that. And then she comes back. And then pretty soon there's this back and forth. Anybody ever been there? Little back and forth. And all of a sudden things start escalating just a little bit. And you went, wait, hold on a minute. This isn't headed the right direction. Not railing for railing. Not arguing. Discuss, yes. But discussion is different than railing and throwing insults and going. So when you realize that your blood pressure's getting a little bit high and you start feeling frustrated, it's probably a good time to say, honey, you know, I know we need to talk about this. What about we do it in an hour? Maybe this evening let's talk about it and give yourself time to be sure that you get your spirit like Christ wants, and then you can deal with the issue rather than dealing with the person. You deal with the issue. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. There is no place for clamor among God's people, folks. No place for clamor. There's too much clamor in people's homes, in congregations, among people who are professing to be God. It's clamor. And they know not what manner of spirit they're of. Put away from you and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then Philippians 2:3, let nothing, all right, this is a litmus test for us now. Let nothing be done through what? Through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And you say, I'm not going to esteem him better than myself. Because look, wait, hold on. What is the mind of Christ? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so the scripture says that Jesus went to another village.